You are listening to The Sun on the Strip. I'm Brock Radke, entertainment writer for the Las Vegas Sun, and every Wednesday I'll have an exclusive conversation with someone who is being fabulous on the Las Vegas Strip, as well as an update on what's going on in the world of entertainment here in Vegas. Thanks for listening. What a huge holiday weekend on the Las Vegas Strip. We're just coming off the first concert at Allegiant Stadium, the comeback of the first big residency show with Bruno Mars at Park MGM, and the grand opening celebration at Resorts World featuring a concert from Miley Cyrus on the 4th of July. It was packed. Everything was packed. It definitely felt like pre-pandemic Vegas, maybe even a little bit bigger. And now we've got another huge weekend coming up with more shows from Bruno, another weekend of comedy with Dave Chappelle at MGM Grand. This time he's performing with Joe Rogan, as well as Justin Bieber playing a one-off concert at Wynn, Dwight Yoakam at Mandalay Bay Beach, UFC taking over T-Mobile Arena Saturday night, and of course, Garth Brooks at the stadium. I'm going to be in attendance for that one, and it'll be my first time inside Allegiant Stadium. I'm pretty excited. You will be able to read all of my coverage at LasVegasSun.com, so please stay tuned. Before this weekend arrives, Chris Angel is reopening his show Mind Freak at the Planet Hollywood Resort. That's tonight, Wednesday, July 7th. This is another one of the biggest show comebacks so far in Vegas. Last week, we had two Cirque du Soleil reopenings with Mystère at Treasure Island and O at Bellagio. And Chris Angel is another really recognizable name in a huge theater doing a very popular illusion-based production. Now, remember, he's collaborating with Franco Dragone, the former Cirque director and creator, for a new project likely coming to Planet Hollywood later this year. And Dragone reportedly spent some time checking out Angel's show and theater and maybe offered some pointers and opinions along the way. So I'd expect all the big tricks and stunts Chris Angel is known for, maybe with a few new moments and experiences. It's going to be exciting. Opium at the Cosmopolitan has announced it will reopen on September 24th. Just announced this week. This will be the last of the three Spiegelworld productions to get back to the stage. Absent the Caesar's Palace and Atomic Saloon show at Palazzo have been going strong for a while now. The Opium Theater is connected to the former Rose Rabbit Lie supper club space at the Cosmo, and Spiegelworld has taken control of that space and is planning a new restaurant venue. But it is unclear at this time if that will be open in September along with the show. I'm digging into that and we'll keep you posted. Don't forget, you can stay on top of all Vegas showbiz news by reading my Curtain Up column every Thursday at LasVegasSun.com. And in non-show news, Caesar's Palace is about to undergo renovation to its main entrance. The legendary Center Strip Resort will start this project in the coming weeks and is hoping to have it finished by New Year's Eve. It's going to rebuild the entire main entrance, creating this huge domed ceiling over a new 15-foot statue of Caesar, and the adjacent gaming areas and lobby bar will be renovated as well. Are you ready for another magical conversation on the Sun on the Strip? This week I have something special because I've been recording my interviews with Las Vegas entertainers for this show over the phone or on Zoom for more than a year now. This time, I'm actually in person, backstage, in the dressing room with a very unique performer who just reopened an all-new show at the Strat. Xavier Mortimer is the only person to perform in a Cirque du Soleil production, Michael Jackson 1, and then go on to headline his own solo show on the Strip. He started out at Planet Hollywood about 5 years ago, moved over to Bally's, and when it came time to reopen the show this month, he had found a new home at the Strat Theater, which at 600 seats is the biggest venue for his solo show so far. Xavier is from the south of France, and he has this whimsical musical style that is really unlike any other magic show in Vegas these days. He's going to talk about that, as well as what he did during the shutdown when his social media following absolutely exploded thanks to some truly amazing magic videos he was posting quite regularly. Go find him on YouTube and Instagram and all those places, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. It's a lot of fun. For now, here's my conversation from last week, just a couple of days before he reopened his show, with Xavier Mortimer. When did you know that you needed to find a new spot Was that a pretty sudden changeover from Caesars?
We always wanted to make the show grow, and I had things that I couldn't perform in a smaller room, but, you know, you have to start small, and you have to make your way, you have to make the audience and everyone knows you in Las Vegas, and we've been doing that for 4 or 5 years. The pandemic hit, and we closed, and I also got a lot of hits on social media, which made us think, oh, that might be the momentum that we were waiting for, to see if this audience that is following me now on social media is gonna help us build something bigger. I believe it's not just social media or just growing the show. It's both at the same time. It's going to be like, you know, the reputation and people knowing you. Mm-hmm. That's going to help bring more audience to the room so we can afford to perform in a bigger room. Let's see how this goes. And we adapt also the show, because you can't perform little stuff in a bigger room like that. You have to be bigger. We brought a lot of new elements, yeah.
Yeah. I know it was great to be at Bally's right in the center of the strip, but this property,
yeah,
iconic, you know, you can't miss it. If you tell someone you've got a show here, everybody knows where it is. Everybody knows
that
where
is true. Yeah, that is true. We're at the far end of the strip, and I believe it's going to be fine. There's a lot of people in the hotel. There's a Resorts World that's just opened next door. It's becoming kind of a spot, you know, that is less far as it was. We'll see. Again, it's all, you never know, you know. Even at Planet Hollywood, when we opened at Planet Hollywood, I said to my employees, I said, guys, just like, this is going to be 3 months, you never know what's going to happen, so maybe in 3 months we're going to be out, so maybe we're going to be out tomorrow, in a week, in 3 months, or maybe we're going to stay there 10 years, and the goal is to stay there 10 years.
Yeah. Not only are you moving into this awesome room at this great property, but you're working with Spy Entertainment, which has got such a great track record of doing all kinds of different shows on the Strip. How's that collaboration been so far?
It's it's amazing that they jumped on the... They offered us, to do something with them. We were, Alex and I, Alex mostly was producing the show and making sure that the tickets were selling, and I was making my promotion on my end by putting magic out there, going to see the people in the streets, go see the brokers. And now we have this extra strength behind us, and I'm really looking forward to work with them. Yeah.
You mentioned the social media stuff already, and you know, I know a lot of entertainers and magicians posted a lot of different kinds of content online. What you did was like next level. The views that you got on your videos, and obviously like the production and the time that you put into those videos was really huge investment, really intense, right?
Yeah.
Was that, and you had been working on that stuff before the pandemic too. You had been building up that part of your profile a bit.
I believe social media is the next step for everything that is reality, and us magicians, performers who belong to reality, I mean non-scripted shows, the way to put magic out there, because a lot of people see those videos and they're like, oh, what's happening on social media? I saw that on Facebook. Look at that video, it's viral. And that's the way to do it. I started on TikTok. Went pretty well with me, and I met Rick Lax, who's an influencer on social media. And he said, Xavier, you need to do longer videos now. Do you want to work with me? And I was like, yeah, sure. And we produced a bunch of videos together. He helped me a lot on this. And suddenly I started to... So the big switch was I did something that no one has intended before. I produced a grand illusion for a 3-minute video. And no magician would ever do that, because you're like, I'm going to spend $5,000 for a 3-minute video on Facebook that maybe 100 people are going to see? No. And I did it because I felt that I could have a view. And also... views. And also I was like, you know, I've been building that, so maybe this is the moment where I should invest a little bit in my videos and make it like more produced and do something that I like, because I had this idea that was the thing where I was on the wall and with the boxes. Mm-hmm. And I go and I see Ayala, who's Joaquin Ayala, who's building for me. He had the Toronto Strip a long time ago. And I tell him, let's build this illusion. And he's like, yeah, it's going to be a lot of money, you know. And I'm like, yeah, for a Facebook video, you sure? And I was like, let's do it, you know. Even if I lose money, I just want to do a trick out there. But I post the video and the next day I go see Joaquin and say, do you know how many views we have on that video? No, I don't know. 1 million? No, 2 million? No, 100 million. I was like, what? And that video is probably the most viewed video of all time. It hit like almost 400 million views. Ugh. It's crazy. and everyone saw it. Like there's people around and say, oh yeah, the box, I remember that video. And that moment I was like, oh, so you stumble on something, you're like, so producing, and I made my money back. And I was like, if I made my money back, let's keep moving and let's keep doing it. And we produced the jump rope and the car and the, all these things that went viral when I went on the pole. And every time, like, I hit 100 million views on all those videos, and it adds up and got like 5 billion views or something. And you're like, you look at behind, you're like, wow. And I believe it's there's luck involved, because I was lucky to stumble on that, but there's also, let's do something that no one has tried before, and I'm taking a risk of $5,000 throwing into the window, and maybe no one's gonna watch my video, but you know, crazy, and now we found something, and I want to keep doing that, because I believe I can produce. I always wanted to have a show on TV, or like, mm-hmm. The show is great here. I love performing. I'm a performer at heart. This is what I've been doing since I'm a kid. But I like the creative aspect. When I do those videos, I dive into the video for like a week or two, or maybe a month. And there's so much creativity, and oh, we're gonna do this and this, and then the video's done, and okay, next. And I like this creative process of like, let's create more magic, let's put out more magic out there, and okay, this one's done, okay, next.
Yeah. Well, it's easy to see why those videos have caught on so quickly. You know that people are seeing them and like showing them to all their friends and stuff. Yes. Because there's a sense of reality to them. There's not a lot of crazy special effects. You're in a backyard, or you're in a park with the thing with the bicycle, where you're in half, basically. People were showing me that one, like, have you heard of this guy? I'm like, yeah, definitely. I know about this guy. But they're all just, you know, it seems like something you could see walking down the street. You could accidentally stumble upon this activity happening. So I think that look is really appealing.
Yeah, that's the goal. That's why I said reality, because when you start to put all these, and it's like, you know, I compare that to the beginning of EDM. When EDM was starting, I have songs and I listen to songs, and they just cut the song with no ending. I was like, why do you guys do that? I was like, because it looks raw, you know, it looks like we're in a warehouse, like doing things with the computers, and look at this song, this beat. And that's the same thing, and that's what people want. They want raw things. Like, look at this guy, he's walking on the pole, he's cutting himself in half in the park. And but the reality is that if you see, there's a lot into it. Like, it's dense, it's like to the inch. We've been filming those videos maybe 3, 4, 5 times, maybe some of them 10 times before we find the right angle, the right way to do it. And it's almost a dance with I rehearse with the camera, like, okay, so now you go here and then you go here. And not just for the magic, but also to tell the story, you know. I have point A and I want to go to point B. And if the camera is not exactly here, you won't see that they're cutting me with this exact thing that I want to show.
Right.
It's not just an angle, it's also a lot of storytelling. I tell story when I do those videos. Yeah
It's like more there's an illusion, but it's really about the story.
Yeah, it's the story of a guy who's gonna grab his shoes on a light pole. That's this, and that's what I don't want to that's the magician I want to be. I love like those stories like Harry Potter, the Little Prince, all these, you know, things that are magical, but I also want to be in the reality and have this character and like, look at this guy, he's just in, it's not like, hey, look, I'm the magician and I'm gonna fool you because I'm stronger than you or something like that. I like to share that how you say, almost childish moment where we're just having fun and look at this guy, and even when I'm cut in half, it's always fun because it shouldn't be not fun. You see, right. I don't want this whole blood and things. We're just right. having fun, you know. That's my take on it. Yeah.
Now you're going to be. I think I read that you're going to be using some of those. Illusions from these videos that you've made on stage here.
Yeah.
How's that going to go? Because I know this is a very different thing when you're creating yes. something for a video versus yes. live performance. Yes. So what's that like?
So you have to adapt. There's two illusions that we're going to use. The cart, the one where I was playing on the cart in Walmart. I don't know if you've seen this one. And the one with the boxes. And we thought, because the director, Alex Good, he said, I want you to put your illusions. I'm going to find you a room. I'm working on it, but put your illusions on thing. I'm like, you know, I said the same as the way we set up. And also on stage, you have a different take because, like you said, it has to be casual. When I film my video, I almost want someone. Sometimes I start the video laughing, just to say, and say action, and I laugh just to say we're friends here. We're just playing, you know. And that's the way to like put the mood. On stage, it's a very different feeling. You have to start telling something different. You have an audience in front of you, so the whole step to it is very different. So what we've done is we've been. Working on how can we put that on stage? How can we adapt it to have the same magical feeling, but like we put it on stage? And we found that for two of the illusions, there's also illusions. Actually, the jump rope has been in the videos, but the jump rope went from stage to video, mm-hmm. while the boxes went to video from to stage. So we're trying to kind of play around, you know, see what we can do. There's a plan to do some of the stunts. Like I did a stunt. I was doing a handstand on a car with one finger. I'm trying to plan that stunt to do it somewhere here, maybe at the Strat, or maybe on a car that goes down the strip with the name of the show or something. You know, things like that. Yeah. So I have to say I learned a lot during that pandemic, and I was blessing almost. In disguise to have this free time, which upset me at the beginning.
Yeah,
I was like, what I would do with my life, you know? Like everyone, I mean, it's sad for a lot of people who lost their jobs, but we just kept being positive and try to find the best way to make it work, you know? And there's a bit of luck, and there's also a bit of like, I think I really love magic. I love entertaining people, and I was like, I can't just stop. mm-hmm. I'll find a way. Don't worry.
Obviously, there are some shows, smaller shows in Las Vegas that were able to reopen earlier,
yeah.
and stay open and fight through the crazy restrictions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You are opening this week. You are part of. Really the first big wave of yes. big Vegas shows to come yes. back. I just went to the first showing of Mystère last yes. night, which was incredible. Cirque du Soleil, of course, is what brought you to Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Well, how does it feel to be part of this huge movement of not only bringing shows back to Vegas, but like welcoming people back to Las Vegas again with this pieces of entertainment that they have come to expect and love all this time?
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm just excited. It's been a tough time, and everyone stayed at home. And now I feel everyone's gonna be already excited to go see live performances. I I love doing those videos and stuff, but I think being live with an audience, like gathering people together, making people smile, like here, is something that I was missing. Yeah.
That's going to do it for this week's episode of The Sun on the Strip. Thanks for listening. Special thanks to Xavier Mortimer for chatting with me. Go see his show, The Dream Maker, at the Strat Theater right now. It's playing at 6 p.m. every night except Tuesdays. If you want to find past episodes of this show, just go to lasvegassun.com/podcasts. And you can also listen and subscribe to The Sun on the Strip at Apple Podcasts. Thanks again for listening. See you next week.